Good afternoon, everyone. We are here for the Economic Development Committee meeting, just running a couple minutes late, but we did a pretty good job considering we had a full Finance Committee meeting ahead of us. And so our first order of business today will be the approval of the minutes from the July 1st, 2019 meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And that will pass. I'd like to stop for a second because I just realized Mr. Brimmer did something this morning that was very, very timely and appropriate, and I meant to do it at the beginning as well. I'd like for us to just take a couple seconds to, whether you want to bow your head or whatever you want to do, moments of silence because of all the victims recently of all these shootings. So if we could just take a few moments. Thanks. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, it's so important. We have such an incredible town here. We have such incredible first responders, police, et cetera, and just our citizenry. And it's just heartbreaking when you see communities torn apart the way these have. So hopefully they will come together as they are trying to do and heal. And we will continue to do everything in our power to keep our folks safe. The second item is public comments. Does anyone have any public comments this afternoon? All right, seeing none. Mr. DeMora has joined us. We will move on to three, which is a review of the economic development impact of the National Medal of Honor Heritage Foundation Center. And I do want to just add, for those who were not here in our Finance Committee, Mr. Tommy McQueenie, who will also come up now for us. Tommy, if you want to go ahead and join us, gave a great presentation on the center itself, what they are planning to accomplish, how they plan to go about that, et cetera. This meeting is designed to focus on the economic impact because I think that's one of the things that maybe wasn't emphasized enough. As a museum that will bring a lot of eyes and tourists and heads in beds and all the different things that happen when you have a great center, a great tourist facility, it is an economic development project. And so in that respect, we're going to look at things like jobs and capital spent and all of that. Mr. McQueenie, if you could take it away.
Yes, thank you. I don't think this is on this. No, I don't think this is on this. So I'm just going to go through what I handed out.
Maybe that back one. Could you go back? One. No. There was one in there.
Back one?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's kind of too small to see.
Hard to see, maybe.
Yeah. All right, so I handed out, what I'm using here is what I call an interpolative feasibility study taken from the PGAV, which was a group that came in from St. Louis to assess the feasibility for the museum in 2011. They published this. And then and their numbers were from 2010. And as you can see, the second column, all we did was take our population, our visitation, money spent on hotel rooms and so forth, and move them forward to 2018. Now, why I do need to notate here that that's 2018, that's as if this museum was already built in 2018. What would those numbers be based on that study and what the CAC's VB, the Charleston Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, what their numbers would tell us as well. So we interspersed those to come out with the number of visitation, the visitors that would come to see this museum in 2018, and then we used an 80% factor, meaning that 80% of those visitors would be from out of town, 20% would be local. So we're using 80%, not just to be conservative, but also that would relate to people staying in hotels. And as you can see, there's an average stay of 4 days, and we're just using 1 day, what they would spend. And that comes all the way down to that revenue. And we use that to get the $228 that the Convention and Visitors Bureau used in 2018 to come up with an economic impact for this museum as of 2018 to be $85,961,000. Now, this museum would be built in 2024, and our rate of growth, which I put in here, you see the first line, market area population, grew from 2010 to 2018 at 36.27%. That's the Tri-County area. And then our visitation grew even greater than that, 39.55%. Charleston is a popular place to come, the entire area. And we didn't even put in terms of the pricing, we put a $15 ticket, whereas if you go to Patriots Point today, it's $24. So that gives you an idea. So we think the economic impact in 2024, if we were to interpolate that again, would be well into somewhere in the neighborhood of $120 million of economic impact per year. Now, in terms of jobs, we broke that down to everything from executive director to security and ticket takers and so forth, and our number is 49. Now, the only thing that you might question on there that I left in there is the three people that would be working at the Medal of Honor Society. Well, the assumption would be they'd still be working at the Medal of Honor Society, so why would we put them in there? Well, because if we didn't build a museum, they would leave. So that number 49 we feel pretty secure is a very good number for permanent jobs that this museum would bring to the area. Anticipated construction jobs, now these are contractors, everything for pilings to concrete to the marble works, heating and air conditioning and so forth. And I had to go to a contractor to find how do you ascertain those kind of numbers, and he gave me a factor, which is what he called a labor factor, over 2 years. And that came out to 266 construction jobs that would take to build this museum. And I'll leave that for questions.
Does anyone have questions? I have a couple. So first of all, is it possible when the time comes, I mean, this is a little in advance, but when the time comes, because this is going to be a building that will be more in the scope and design of this area, is it possible that that we have a good shot at local design, local architects, local construction companies, et cetera, being employed?
It's a very good question. The first design we had was a young lady that finished architectural school and so forth and graduated from Bishop England High School. So that first design, and I think I can go back. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we went back to that page to show you that one, but that's the neoclassical design that we saw previously. Mm-hmm. But we will have other designs. And our plan is to have a design that's commensurate with this area that works very well in the community. We're not trying to design something that people will have the wow factor outside. We want that wow factor to be inside. Mm-hmm. to see America's greatest living heroes and those that have deceased. But to answer your question, our preference would be to find somebody that's local. Obviously, it would be a lot easier for us to work with if they were local.
Another point I wanted to make is that in some earlier economic development discussions we've had, I believe our economic advisory board discussed this, that we do have approximately an across the board 10% vacancy rate in Mount Pleasant on average. That's a couple different hotel companies I talked to get that number. And so just imagine if the vacancy rate at the hotels in Mount Pleasant dropped, you know, some percentage, maybe 5% all the time or whatever, because of adding such an incredible facility that people will want to come. Let's put it this way, it gives everybody a new reason to come to Patriots Point, to see the Yorktown, to see this, and who knows what else we have there in the future that's being discussed. So there's no doubt there is an economic impact that's very positive. Does anybody have any other questions or?
Yeah, I do.
Tommy, I noticed that you and
General Livingston met with Lindsay's office.
Correct.
Gauge their level of interest and perhaps likelihood that we might get some federal funding?
I feel very confident that Senator Graham is going to support this. He, as you know, he was, he's one of the ones that did have a military background. He's also on the Senate Armed Services Committee. We met with him and Senator Tom Cotton, who's also on the Senate Armed Services Committee while we were up there. We don't think that this would be in this year's budget, and I don't want to put too much on him, but he's very supportive of this. He asked when we could possibly have a groundbreaking. He had his senior staff in the room to question this project, all the details. No, he wasn't there. Richard Perry and Joe McCune's in Tim Scott's office, correct. So we feel like that he's got a tremendous level of interest in this. He did mention that he had a donor that did not live in the state. He gave us his name, but I hesitate to give that name. That he felt could give substantial money to this project, and he would ask him to do so. And then, you know, where we left it is we're going to keep him informed of our progress and how much we're getting done going forward. We just did our launch on July 29th. Several of you were there. The enthusiasm's there. We feel like there's a groundswell there of support. And in the other committee, I failed to mention this, and I'd like to bring it up, though. If our vision is correct and we were able to do this at Patriots Point, we hope that works. You know, we'd love it to work, and I know their chairman, Ray Chandler, has told me personally he wants to see this happen. But Patriots Point brings another side to things that they don't have anywhere else in this country. Where else could a kid walk out of a Museum of America's Greatest Heroes and go touch a tank or a jet fighter or a helicopter or, for heaven's sakes, see a destroyer or an aircraft carrier? They don't have that. There's a marina there. There is already, you know, five-star hospitality venue there. There's, you know, tours to Fort Sumter there. There's a golf course that's being redesigned there. And this Patriots Annex project that I'm understanding may be a $350 million project is also going there. And we believe we have synergy with that person that's putting that project there. We just think that, you know, just all the stars are aligned where this can be a fantastic place to take young people to learn about America and learn about the sacrifices that people have made to protect our freedoms. I'm sorry, I got off on a little tangent, but I think that needed to be said.
Kathy?
Yes.
Mr. Queen, thank you for the presentation. These are impressive numbers. A couple of questions for you.
Sure.
So in the next committee meeting, we're going to have an item, a couple items having to do with the Patriots Annex project. Mm-hmm. And there were concerns raised at the Planning Commission about the impacts of that project, primarily parking and traffic counts and heights and other things. So if I understand you correctly today, I heard you say you would expect about 377,000 visitors?
Correct.
So I've got a concern about traffic. Where is that traffic going to go, how it's going to be managed on Patriots Point, mm-hmm. along with Mr. Bennett's project, and also hotels. You know, we've had some discussions here in council about the proliferation of hotels here in Mount Pleasant, as well as across the bridge. Where are these folks going to stay? It's 1,000 folks a day on average. So have y'all talked through some of those impacts and how it's going to affect the town as a whole?
We have not addressed the hospitality industry directly. I'll make a gross assumption that the attractions have those hospitality venues catch up with them. If there's people coming, the people that are investing in hotels we'll invest in more hotels. You know, that's a gross assumption. But that impact, I'm sure, is something that is concerning to everyone in the room. Yeah. Hopefully, it'll work out very well.
Yeah, I think my point, I guess, there is that we need to have some further discussion on those impacts, because I think in order to make this be successful, it does require us to move in a direction that the council recently has been saying we don't want to move into. So I think we're going to have to, even though economic development's great, it has to be in a way that doesn't necessarily negatively impact the rest of the town. And these are very big numbers. We're talking about traffic-wise and accommodations-wise, and I think we just need to really have some very detailed discussions about truly how we're going to manage that with this project. Thank you.
Good point.
I would like to add, in regard to Mr. Crosby's question, we did have Congressman Joe Wilson there, who did a presentation for us that was very helpful, in addition to the fact that he actually read from the 1999 bill that became an act, that was a resolution essentially saying that this was the National Medal of Honor site right there, landside at Patriots Point. So I think we already have the open door, in addition to Senator Graham and Senator Scott of the House side, potentially wanting to do what they can as this goes on. So I think the main issue here is this is something that the town has wanted. As I said in the Finance Committee meeting earlier, this is something that when it looked like it was leaving and that was it, and that was the project that is currently being shopped in other parts of the country that can't use the name National because it's not part of what they were given as a congressional act, that we in fact are excited to be able to tell the town, hey, it's not gone, it's here. And the potential for very positive economic development in the sense of jobs and revenue coming to our town that could have gone anywhere, as we saw when those folks left, now it's back and we can do it, and we can do it the right way. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have anything to add? Joe, anybody?
Two questions. So the estimated amount of tax revenue coming to the town from this project would be what? Have you figured that out yet?
I think whatever the, is it 8.5% of, are you talking about total state, federal?
Yeah, what the additional revenue to the town of Mount Pleasant would be as a result of this.
I didn't drill down into the tax number, but if you could use our figures to do that, I think readily. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And a question for Eric or Mr. Homa. Would this project have to go and have an impact assessment?
I don't believe so. It's less than the required acreage. And
what would be the acreage of this project?
Car trips.
Yeah. So that would have to come through Planning Commission and Council. Okay, thank you. That's it.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. McQueen. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 4, discussion of impact fee and business license fee rates. And we actually had some of this, it seems like, in finance. So is it going to be similar or some of the same or something totally new? Okay.
I think it's a little different.
Okay.
I'm going to start with business license. The town's business license tax is our second largest revenue source. It's anticipated to bring in $22 million this fiscal year. The state authorizes municipalities to have a business license tax. The tax is based on gross receipts and the business's activity. Each business is classified under the North American Industrial Classification System, or NAICS code. The NAICS codes are placed in a rate class from 1 to 8, depending on the IRS data on their ability to make a profit. Once a business's gross income exceeds $3 million, the tax rate is decreased. This declining rate was adjusted in 2014 based on the premise that the bigger businesses would help support some of the smaller businesses. If it's changed, tax rates would need to be adjusted to redistribute the impact to remain revenue neutral. We looked at 9 businesses and 7 localities' business license tax. Based on the same gross receipts, we calculated to see how each ranked to the cost of the business license tax. The highest tax is ranked at 1, the lowest at 7. you can see where the town ranked for each of these businesses. The town was not number one in any category and generally ranked middle of the pack. Based on this information, we do not think the town's business license tax is a deterrent to businesses wanting to locate into the town.
Okay, I took the second part of this. Ms. Landing, you also asked for some comparative information and general information with impact fees and how they may influence businesses coming into the town. So to start with, I thought it would be helpful to give you all an idea of what people are paying. If it's a new construction coming into the town of Mount Pleasant, what are they generally paying in impact fees? And so the scenarios that have been created up here are general scenarios of what you would see. So the first one, for example, the shopping center at 70,000 square feet, that would be very similar to what the new Lowe's Center off at Highway 41, the rates that would apply to a center that's about that size. The same thing with quality restaurant. And I tried to select a lot of the types of businesses that were very similar to what Marcy just reviewed for you all with the business license, so you can kind of get a comparative there. And then also pull some in that are a little bit more obviously related to economic development, such as a corporate headquarters. And so if you did have a large corporate headquarters, something more the size of like a med shipping or something along those lines, you could expect that might be generally what they would pay. Or our hotel rooms, if we're focusing on our accommodations, you can see that it mainly comes from the trips. Almost all of these are driven by the trips that they generate is a pretty substantial impact fee. I did put the gas station on there as the outlier just because it is, I think people are surprised and don't, but it is an incredibly high trip generator. So 16 fueling positions, that's basically 8 pumps, is going to be over $500,000. So that was just an outlier, I thought, which is an interesting example. So this kind of gives you an idea. We know that we are getting a lot of redevelopment now. And so, and I know that we've discussed many times that in those scenarios, they receive credit for whatever the previous use is. So this would only apply if it's a new construction cost. When it comes to comparing to other jurisdictions, it was not as straightforward as what you just saw with the business licenses. There are, as you can see, 10 or so either cities or counties within our state that actually charge impact fees, but it's not really a way to do a comparison with them because they don't necessarily charge impact fees the same as we do. For example, City of Charleston is only going to charge for like basically their public services and public safety. They don't have the transportation impact fees. Rock Hill is another one. Rock Hill charges water and wastewater, which we as the town don't charge, but obviously Mount Pleasant Water Works does. So coming up with an apples and apples comparison was very not possible, in addition to the fact that whatever our level of services that we have chosen impacts as well, and our demand, our population. And then and further with that, we probably have, as indicated on the slide, the most robust CIP in the state. Right now, with our currently funded projects at $65 million, $16 million of that are coming from our impact fees, and that would be whether it's a fire station or a road projects, that's where our funds are coming from. So I was not able to give you a real good comparison there. I think naturally ours are going to be higher because we fund so many different types of CIP projects, whereas other cities or counties maybe are only limited. Like I said, Rock Hill only has water and wastewater and let's see, one other thing like trash or fire. That's all they charge. And so ours is going to be, I think, be naturally higher in that case. And so that's the information that we were able to prepare in comparing both business license and impact fees for you.
Mr. Rimmer, I know this is a topic that you have wondered about. Do you have any questions?
I have no questions. I just have to say that I thought the numbers would be higher based on some of the comments you see on social media or other places. I thought the numbers would be more impactful, mm-hmm. especially given the size of some of the projects. Of course, any cost, additional costs, is a cost to a business, but I just pleasantly surprised they're not as high as I thought they would be.
Can we go back to the earlier slide on the business license data? That one, that's perfect. No,
Sorry, Fallon.
Thank you. Okay. One question that came up recently involved a business that believes that within the next 2 to 3 years, they happen to be domiciled in Mount Pleasant, organically grown here, they believe it's possible they could be in the 200 to 250 million in gross receipts level. And they said, did you know that in North Charleston that it's actually written into the code that there is a pretty substantial, I mean, something like 90% or 95% discount when you go over 250 million. They said, why doesn't Mount Pleasant have that? I said, I don't know that Mount Pleasant has a business that does that high of a level of gross receipts. I could be wrong. Certainly we have a couple of huge companies like MSC and so forth. But is it safe to say that that doesn't come up very often? 250 million in sales.
We don't typically get that, you know, that question. In 2014, we had a different type of declining schedule, mm-hmm. And that was when we also updated the based on the IRS ability to make a profit. And at that time, they made the decision to change the declining schedule to that 3 million mark, mm-hmm. Knowing that when they reallocated everything, that big businesses were going to pay a little bit more to keep it kind of, well, they didn't keep it neutral, they increased it slightly. Mm-hmm. That was just their premise at the time. Small businesses, we want to cultivate them, and we want to make sure that, you know, in the balancing, they at that time, they weighed it that way.
So one of the things that I would like us to consider, and I'm not sure that there's an action to take today, but there might be, I'd like us to consider that things have changed a bit. We all know that we had this tremendous burst of residential growth that really almost felt like it was too much too fast. And in staying this, maybe it's outdated now with this concept of sort of a bedroom community where everybody commutes somewhere else, we realize that doesn't work very well. We realize with bridge break and other things that have happened that we need more high-end jobs on this side of the bridge. And so the idea of having our business licenses be a little bit more geared towards let's have more small businesses. Small businesses are terrific. We love our small businesses. We want them to be here. We want them to grow as much as they can. But at the same time, being able to attract or keep companies that are larger who may be in a position to pay a lot higher incomes so that more of our residents and young people coming out of school don't have to commute somewhere else for work, to consider the idea of going back to something where with scale, that there's an economy of scale. Right now, the only place I'm aware of it is we can do incentive packages associated with economic development projects where appropriate, but that's definitely a one-off uncertainty. Businesses don't do really well with uncertainty. So, again, I don't know what the appetite is on this committee today for this, but perhaps we can look at the possibility of having council consider if we really want to have a lot of great jobs so that people can afford to live on this side, work on this side, et cetera, that we might need to come up with something that goes back to some sort of an economy of scale, discounted rate when it goes higher, especially something like a business that's as much as it's not an unhappy thing to have a business that does $200 million in sales.
Right. You can see that on one of our examples, we did do one that, well, definitely one, I guess, just one that was over the 3 million mark. So what we took into account was everyone's declining rate, and we still were three. We still weren't the highest. So our declining rate plays in on that example there, number one.
Right. And certainly at 3 million, I'm talking about something doing substantially more. So. Does anybody have any thoughts or feedback on what I'm saying? Let's just say like headquarters. When you have headquarters, if we were to have a headquarters of a company here, you know, we now have the Port Authority here on our side. There's the potential for us now with what we're talking to some companies about to have a headquarters here. And a headquarters of a company is going to have great jobs, but they're also going to have a higher revenue. Anybody have any thoughts on this? No?
I mean, I think that's great, but you know, we are in the business of providing town services, mm-hmm. and I don't think we want to, you know, start giving things away. Mm-hmm. Not quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not saying give away. We may want to look at this from that viewpoint that I heard, which was that when you get to really high levels, some of these places discount. I know specifically North Charleston offers, and I'm not saying they offer all the things we have. I'm not saying we need to be North Charleston. We certainly don't need to match what they're offering because people live in Mount Pleasant because they want to be here. I'm just saying we might want to take a look at if we were to be able to attract a headquarters business or something large with significant sales, how would we consider doing something there? So
I'd like to maybe go back and make a comment on, you asked me about impact fees earlier. Could we go back to the slide that has the impact fee? Just for clarification for folks, if I understand these numbers correctly, these fees are prior to any kind of incentives that we offer to reduce impact fees as well. So this is the high end, but there are strategies within the town and incentives within the town that these numbers could even be lower for businesses who want to come here. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. As part of our economic development incentive policy, impact fees are one of the items that are eligible for the town council to make adjustments to.
And on average, what kind of percentage decrease or would we see in these impact fees? Is there a range or?
Case by case basis. You look at all the data that's provided from the business office on that business, and then y'all make the decision on what you want the packages, if you will.
And how do we let businesses know, potential businesses here in Mount Pleasant, know that these incentives are available to them?
We typically don't lead with them with that information. It's most important that it's a right fit in the community. But as it starts to appear that that might be the case, and we do let them know exactly what we provide. And there have been some companies in the past where we have reimbursed all of their impact fees.
Okay.
So we if it's the right place for them, I feel we can be pretty competitive.
Great. Thank you.
I'll just add to that. It's important that the public know, town know, staff, everybody probably already knows this, but the public may not, that when we're actually trying to recruit a business that will bring jobs that could have gone anywhere. They could locate in Savannah. They could locate in whatever. When you start talking about a restaurant, restaurants are going to be here. Restaurants are going to be where people live and work. Hotels are going to be in all different places. But a headquarters for a, I don't know, research and development company or something or some other thing, that could go anywhere. And that brings jobs and it brings high. So the whole thing is based very much on the jobs that are brought to your citizens, opportunities to work, and also capital that is spent in building something, and also the revenue that's going to be produced. So it is not a corporate welfare or a giveaway. It is absolutely to recruit something that could easily choose to go somewhere else. So it's important that people know how we use that. Any other comments or thoughts? Well, thank you very much for that information. And then item 5 is a discussion of the Harbor Accelerator. So this came to the Finance Committee last month, and at that meeting it was decided that it was sort of out of sync. Harbor Accelerator is a nonprofit organization that creates an incubator for usually technology companies, IT-related companies. And so they brought this out of sync mainly because of losing some space that they had downtown. So then they specifically asked me afterwards, we'd like to come back and talk to economic development. So I asked to have it put on the agenda, and then it turned out that they're not able to be here today. So we don't need to spend any time on it. I will simply say the idea was to say, okay, we can't do something financially unless we have a good reason to do it. And also it would give at least a reason for the conversation to go, what do they typically spin off? What is their economic development impact over time by being here? So we're going to put this off at least till next month. So thank you for putting that on the agenda, but we'll have to postpone. Are there any other items for today? On that note, we will adjourn. Thank you so much.
Thank you.